Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. It's Owen here, and on this week's podcast, I got a chance to speak with Cal Poly head soccer coach, Paul Holliher. Coach Holliher, a lot like the football team, the soccer team has their spring practice happening right now. They actually get to play up to 5 days during the spring. They get to scrimmage other teams, and they're finishing off their scrimmage schedule this spring on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, with a match against Stanford at home, which is actually something that should be a pretty interesting thing to watch, given that the soccer team seems to train darn near year-round. So I talked to Coach Holliher about the upcoming season, how the spring was going. We got into it a little bit about kind of the general soccer development programs in the country, how it compares to other soccer development programs in other countries around the world. We talked a little bit about Cal Poly's recruiting class this year. They have a recruiting class that includes the son of Roy Lassiter, who played for the U.S. national team, I think, and also a recruit who is in the, depending on what recruiting service you followed, somewhere between a top 10 recruit and a top 20 recruit nationally. The last time any other Cal Poly sport got kind of a top 10 recruit nationally, I don't know, but I think Cal Poly's football recruiting class was really good this year, but I would argue that the kind of top to bottom, the soccer recruiting class was probably even better. There are some freshmen that are going to be on campus next year that are really great. So, or that have been rated really highly, I guess I should say. I haven't seen them play yet, so how would I know? But Coach Holliher is pretty excited about it. He's pretty excited about the way the spring is going, and I was glad to talk to him. We talked out on the Cal Poly practice field. I don't know if you're familiar with those practice fields. They're out behind the baseball stadium, and even whether it's the morning or the afternoon or whenever, those fields get pretty windy, and the other day was no exception. So I apologize for any wind on the feed, and I hope that it doesn't take away from Coach Holliher's comments, which I thought were really interesting. Hope you enjoy it on the Fansmanship.com podcast today with Coach Paul Holliher. Here with Paul Holliher, Cal Poly men's soccer head coach in the springtime. How's your spring going, Coach?
It's going really well, Owen. We're four play days in. We've got, you know, five official days in the spring that we can play games, and we finished four of them, and we've played eight games. So we try to get two on each day, and they've been good. I mean, the results have been good. I think we're six wins, one loss, and one tie, and scoring a lot of goals, which is a real good sign. So it's been fun.
Yeah, you guys scored more goals last year. Is that something that you kind of expect to continue as far as looking towards 2013 season?
We really hope so, yeah. I mean, we've been playing this system and our style that we've really committed to for 14 months. And so now we're a year older. We're a year more mature in our understanding, and we're creating chances and good chances and controlling the game. So it's been definitely an improvement over the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple years ago, you guys were, I think, like 6-9-3. Last year, you said the new style that you're committed to, you alluded to it a second ago, you guys went 11-7-1 with the new style. Mm-hmm. In 2011, you went to Barcelona and Europe. Was that kind of the impetus behind you changing the way that you're coached? I know we talked about it a little bit last year. Was that kind of a game changer for you?
It was a game changer, for sure. That's a good way to put it. I mean, we've been watching and observing FC Barcelona for the last 4 or 5 years, and just really admiring how they play. And, you know, after that one season that you know, you're talking about in 2011, we weren't happy with not just the results, but just, you know, the style of play and we needed a change for the program, and so I went over to Barcelona to finally go watch them, you know, in person, and we got to observe the trainings, and not only observe the trainings, but just to hear their philosophy and to see how committed they were to playing beautiful football, beautiful soccer, and a passing game and a positional game, and so I learned a ton. I had a lot of aha moments over there, and we brought it back and have been implementing ever since. And say we don't waver from it. It's a beautiful way to play, and we all believe in it.
So you said you guys have been practicing it, thinking that way for 14 months now. So this is your second spring. What difference is spring practice-wise are you noticing, spring soccer-wise, from last year to this year as far as guys being familiar with it and so forth?
Well, you know, last year we were giving the guys a lot of information, and you know, they were taking it in and it was good. And this year, you know, they really, really are understanding, you know, why they're doing what they're doing and why they're positioned like they're positioned, and just more refinement. You know, they're more aware. You know, to be a good soccer player in our way of playing, you have to be very, very positionally aware. You need to have, you know, eyes in the back of your head, so to speak, and always checking around for, you know, good factors in positioning. And you know, a lot of soccer, Owen, you know, it's very direct, and you know, you get the ball and you race up the field almost like there was a shot clock, but there's no shot clock in soccer, and that's what you have to remember. And so we base our game on possession and keeping possession, and it's just an art form to be able to learn how to do it well.
Is it a matter of principles? I mean, you talk about, like, in basketball, you have some offenses that run on principle versus you have to be here right at this exact second at this time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like more robotic, but I feel like what you guys are working off of is based kind of more on principles. If this guy moves here, you move there.
Exactly. No, it's true. It really is. It's, you know, you can play just on instinct and put guys in different positions, but it's not as, for us, it's not as effective as really almost studying the game. And you know, like I said, we want, in our system, we play the 1-4-3-3, so you know, our goalkeeper's critical in their build up and our possession. We play four in the back, we play three centrally in the midfield, and then three along the front. And width and depth is really important in our game. So you know, and where you're positioned is very important. So it's a lot less, you know, just running around trying to get the ball than, you know, what are your relationships to your teammates and the opponent, and you know, all these factors to position yourself well. So the guys have got to put their thinking caps on when they play for this team, right. And you know, they're getting it. Yeah.
Good. It's kind of an interesting list of seniors this year. A lot of guys with a lot of experience from last year. Last year's team that went to the Big West tournament and lost in the first round. Mackenzie Pridham, George Malky, Chris Bernardi. Guys who made big contributions last year.
Yeah.
Coming back and as seniors.
Yeah.
How much does that help when you're trying to put in a new system over the course of a couple of years to have guys who were juniors last year, seniors this year, to kind of set the tone now as a program?
It makes a big difference, you know, because now, like I said, these guys have all been in it. They know what we're going to do. They can mentor the younger players coming in. Now we'll have, you know, we'll have seven freshmen coming in, and they'll have these guys that really they can look to as role models and understanding how we play. So, yeah, that's a big advantage to have those guys coming back. And Mac, you know, in particular, is just – flourished in the 1-4-3-3 as that number nine, that central striker, and so we expect another great year from him.
Awesome. You alluded to the freshman class. I joked with Chris Giovanetti when the football and soccer classes were announced, I think on the same day.
Yeah.
That you know, all else being equal, like, the soccer class is a lot better from a ranking standpoint, and the football class was really good.
Yeah.
And I was joking with him, the soccer class I think is better. You know, you guys got a top 10 or 20 ranked striker,
yeah.
A number of other players who are pretty highly touted.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the class, especially is it Justin Dillon and some of the other guys you got.
Yeah, Justin's actually Sean Dillon's brother.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I was wondering if that was that Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's, you know, a physical specimen to start out with. You know, he's like 6'3", and, you know, fast, and he plays forward, so he's just a handful for defenders and very skillful, plays for a great, you know, plays for the LA Galaxy Academy, and, you know, just a super, super good player that's been playing in our system as well. I got a kid named Ari Lassiter, who's Roy Lassiter's son, dynamic winger, left-footed winger. We got a kid named Kaba, who's coming up from Sacramento, who's a wonderful forward as well, athletically gifted. Yeah, we got a young man named Brett Foreman coming in from Southern Cal. This very versatile player, can play in the back or play in the midfield. Eric Cam, a goalkeeper from Santa Barbara Soccer Club, which is neat. And then Joseph Bolios, who's from De Anza, who's another attacking player. So a lot of guys that have played in our system. We actually went and recruited from teams that play, you know, similar to us.
So now that you have a system, you can go out and say, this is what we're recruiting for. Yeah. And are there a lot of club teams or other teams that play it, or is that kind of, does that limit yourself?
Not
a
lot.
A bit?
Not a lot. There really aren't a lot, you know. You know, but there are a few in the state that I really look to, with good coaching and guys that really play, you know, put the ball on the ground and keep possession and know how to do that.
Maybe you can tell I like to make allusions to other sports. So, I mean, you can kind of think of it a lot like the football team over the past few years, where they have a very specific offensive system when they're, you know, when they're running the triple option.
Absolutely.
And you have to have the players that
you have
that
to
can,
have the players
that can
do
that.
Yeah, it makes recruiting easier. I mean, more specialized. You know, it's not just about getting a good player. You know, it's about, does this guy fit in, you know, in this specific role, and does he? What are his tendencies and what are his athletic qualities? Like, we have, you know, our outside backs, are guys that are in this system really, really get forward a lot, right. And so, you know, you can. You know, those guys typically have the best, you know, what they call the beep test on the test, the best fitness level, and they're, a lot of times they're converted wingers, so they've been attackers, but in our system they're playing the back, but they get forward a lot.
Right.
So, you know, we don't just go out there and try to get a big old back that's defender. We need a guy that can attack. And so in that respect, it makes our recruiting, you know, we have a keener eye, I guess, on what we're looking for.
I'm a Bluff Street Cal Poly Dam here with Cal Poly soccer head coach Paul Holler. Last year you played two goalkeepers quite a bit. Is that something that you kind of went into the year wanting to do? I mean, they're both pretty young still. They're kind of close in age. How is platooning goalkeepers, and is that something you want to do, or is that something that is more like you know, like hockey, where you'd like one to play, like, you know, 80 or 90%, and then another guy who can step in and
fill in. I think that's really it. I mean, we have 2-3 good goalkeepers on this team, and you know, it's we trust them all. You know, we trust them. I mean, Wade came in and became our number one, and he's really a highly touted keeper and very, you know, deserves every minute he gets, and you know, the other keepers do as well. So, you know, Brett Finkelstein's been playing a lot for us this spring, and he's been doing great. Got 2 shutouts last weekend, and so we reward him with games. It helps keep him sharp, and so a little platooning is always healthy, I think.
Sure. But ideally, you'd like kind of one guy to step up, and like you said, Wade kind of did that last year.
Yeah,
right?
for sure. But you know, I think, you know, it could be something where we rotate them, even, you know, play 5 game, one next guy plays 1, you know, just because it's good to keep guys sharp.
Kind of a just in case, especially too. Yeah.
Yep.
Who are 1 to 2 players who've impressed you the most so far this spring, you know, as far as, you know, you've had some time now, and I don't know, you described kind of a pretty intensive year long. It's not like in Europe or anything, but you described last year, I know when we talked, kind of that players are getting to more and more practice year round and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the end of year last year, if a fan went and watched the last home game last year and then they come to the spring game, who's a player that they look at and say, oh man, there's some development, or who's somebody who you've seen,
well,
who you see tangible?
Well, firstly, Connor Dreschler is going into his senior year, and he works so hard and he's improving all the time. You know, I think he's a guy that is even going to get some professional looks. He plays our center back for us, but very, very skillful and beautiful coming out of the back, you know, with his possession, and a very good defender. Chase Minter is a young man that's had a really good spring.
Who got some time last year, but was kind of one of those guys who would come in and out a lot.
He was a redshirt freshman last year,
right.
And you know, he has had a great spring, scored 2 or 3 goals this last weekend, but playing with a lot of confidence, which comes with, you know, the experience and the time in the game. So Chase Minter's been one. Matt LaGrassa's been another one. You know, Mac Pridham's always been, you know. Johnny Chronopoulos is a freshman that didn't play this last year that I think people are, he's going to turn a lot of heads in the fall. Just a very, very good winger, plays the right wing. And no one saw him last year. He redshirted because of an injury, but he's had a very good spring.
So is there going to be some competition at that wing spot then, right? I mean, because you don't have your freshman here right now.
You don't have the freshman. I mean, when you got Justin Dillon and Ari coming in and these guys, I mean, we're going to have a lot of competition.
Create another wing position.
Oh, my gosh. Play with four up front, I guess? I don't know.
Right? Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some fresh bodies maybe, which is a nice thing about college soccer, right?
Yeah. There's going to be good competition, and you know, it's our job to manage it well and make sure everyone understands this is for the good of the team and to compete well and support each other and have good chemistry. And but I think that's going to be exciting for the fans in the fall.
You talked about last year's trip to Europe. What about this year's trip? You went again. What was that like? Was it like different to see it through kind of different eyes, I guess, with a year of experience trying to implement the thing?
Yeah, it was like the year before, the first trip was like, oh my gosh, you know, just light bulbs going off everywhere, this is fantastic. And this year I'd seen a lot of it before, so I was looking for more detail. I was looking for the little things that I didn't catch in the first year, you know, in their games. And so we observed a lot of games as well as trainings, and you can learn a lot from watching the games up close and to see what, because all the Barcelona teams, they play the same way. I mean, from under eight to the full team, it's one system and it's one way of playing. The tendencies are there. So if you really are looking for it, you can find, hey man, look how this guy's moving when this guy's moving. And so I was looking for that, and I learned a lot. I wrote down a lot of, I mean, I have notebooks full of stuff, and man, I can't put a price tag on those notebooks. I learned a lot. And we also went to Holland.
Yeah.
And Holland was great. Holland is probably one of the best soccer countries in the world, and how they educate their players, and learned a lot there as well.
And their coaches, right? Last year we had this interesting conversation on the phone about, you know, U.S. soccer and how, you know, you have top level coaches in a place like Holland with so few total people in the population. Yeah. You have these top level coaches coaching 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds.
Exactly.
Throughout. Is that something you saw over there as well?
Oh yeah. They're just you know, they're the masters of development, you know. It's a science over there. And I love their philosophy in Holland, which is, you know, winning of course is very, very important, but the game must be attractive and open, you know, and that's very, very important to me as well, that we play a style that is pleasing to the eye and you know, attacking and open, and you know, and that's what I really appreciate about the Dutch as well.
Is it like a process, basically? You got to trust in the process, and then is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah,
trust in the process,
absolutely.
And then the results kind of will come. You have to just kind of have faith that the results will
absolutely
come if you're trusting
absolutely
the process.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, be patient, let the you know, we build up from the back. You know, if a team's high pressing us, we feel we have the positional sense and the confidence to build through them, and when we do, you know, it's a 90-minute game. You know, we may give up a chance or two in transition because of you know, we lose the ball, but it doesn't mean the next time we're going to be fearful of keeping it and, you know, just kick it down the field and take the most direct route. We want to play good soccer.
Jurgen Klinsmann's been the U.S. national team coach. I'm kind of going off to the side here for a couple of years now. How much of a impact does a national team coach have on a system throughout? Because you've coached youth soccer, you know, you've coached all levels.
Yeah.
You know, with the club up in Santa Cruz and so forth. What kind of an impact does a like national team coach have? How has his impact been? Being a foreign national, does that make a difference? Like any of that?
Well, you know, I don't know if the national team coach, you know, is directly influencing any youth coaches.
Right.
You know, I mean, what he does have a great responsibility to try to get his team qualified for the World Cup and all these tournaments and everything.
Sure.
And they can create some joy and excitement for the country. But, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily a style that Klinsmann is professing that we can all grab a hold of.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, maybe in Holland, you look at Louis van Gaal and Frans Hoek, who are the coaches of Holland, and you could see a clear way of playing that you know, is similar to IACS, and you know, it's a way that you can, you know, the whole country has bought into.
Should that be? I mean, should that be the way it is? Should the national coach be the guy who's responsible for that, or who's who? There's so many people in the U.S. and so many soccer.
That's the thing. We've got so many different ways of playing the game here. Our federation has kind of started to take steps like that with the U.S. Soccer Academy.
Sure.
You know, and they're encouraging people to play out of the back, right, play up from the back, and you know, they like when teams play the 1-4-3-3, and so. But you know, we're a big country, so it's going to take time to kind of get everybody.
Yeah, and I've heard these like. I don't want to call them crazy, but I've heard these people talk about like, oh, well, maybe, you know, since the U.S. is so big, maybe all of our defenders can come from the Southwest, and all of our strikers can come from the Southeast.
That's
and
interesting.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is we've got to get our MLS is doing well. It's getting better all the time. Right. You know, we're doing better in CONCACAF. We're getting more players to Europe. Our coaching in general has got to get better. I mean, it's up to the coaches really, because we're the ones that give the knowledge to the players and ask them to play certain ways. So if we're a youth coach and we're asking our team, you know, just to not play a back pass,
right?
Then what are we teaching them? You know, we're not teaching them to problem solve on the field, you know, and that's harmful. Winning at the youth level is a big problem. You know, when coaches become obsessed with winning over development.
Right.
And you can even say that at the college level.
I think you can say that with a lot of sports too, not just soccer, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Moving into this year is your second year with the new system. How hard is it? You guys had a pretty steep learning curve, and I think it's safe to say the team kind of stepped into that challenge and really kind of turned it around, at least as compared to the year before.
Yep.
How do you kind of keep that trajectory? And what are some of the difficulties, I guess, associated with, okay, now we got this thing, and probably from your perspective, there's a lot of other levels to take, right?
Well, we're never complacent, that's for sure. You know, and we're never complacent. You keep working hard, you keep staying consistent, you know, you keep adapting as you need to. And I said, you know, you can never guarantee, winning.
Sure.
You know, you're going to lose games, but, you know, how we win and lose games now is much more enjoyable. You know, I can go to sleep at night going, man, at least we try to play really good, and we try to play a great way. So, but to keep it going, you know, we have to have our players have good summers, you know, off with teams developing and training, and then, you know, say keep learning and keep coaching them up.
There was a tough, like, I think it was a 1-0 loss that you guys had at home last year. I want to say it was Irvine, maybe?
Northridge.
And it was like Northridge kind of scored a goal and then packed it back in,
yeah,
I think. And I can kind of picture talking to you after the game, your comments were so process-based. It was really, you know, we're not going to change the way we play just because that team packs it back. We're not going to all of a sudden, you know, kind of fall into that trap.
Yeah.
That's not something we can do. Yeah. Is that something you think other teams are going to probably try to do a little bit more of this year, that kind of style against
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've gained a lot of respect. I mean, I kind of can sense it and feel it a little bit, you know, that people appreciate how we play out there in college soccer. You know, they like it. They,
sure,
they talk about Cal Poly being a good team that plays the right way. You know, so we're going to have to deal with many different types of systems. You know, sometimes they'll pack it in against us. Sometimes they'll play very direct. You know, sometimes they'll, you know, if they're like us, they'll try to play. So you have a really two good playing teams. But our, you know, we got to adapt, you know, like, you know, when a team packs the bus, you know, the option isn't just to, you know, launch it into the box and set up for the big guys for the free kicks, because that's just not what we've trained. You know, that's not part of our DNA anymore. So we have to be very good in tight spaces. And so it's problem solving.
Cool. I think basically two more questions. What's it going to take to kind of take that next step, go from a Big West contender to somebody who's, you know, winning Big West titles and contending nationally? What's the next step there?
Just believe in ourselves, believe and work hard. You know, I think we have good players that can do the job. I think we got a good coaching staff, and I think we have a good, great support here at Cal Poly. So it's just about, that belief and that togetherness.
Great. And when you get to the playoffs, is it kind of like baseball and soccer where, like Billy Beane, I know the A's general manager, talks about, you know, you just make it to the playoffs and then from there it's kind of a crapshoot. Like once you get into the tournament, it kind of like get there and see what happens? Well, is that kind of the goal in terms of the Big West Conference and also eventually hopefully the NCAA?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got, you know, it was, you never know who you're going to reach in the playoffs and what their style of play is going to be. But I feel really confident in just kind of the makeup of games that we've been playing with teams that we've been able to control the majority of games. So we're not fearful of anybody.
Great. And you guys have a big spring game coming up, your last one, right?
Yeah.
Saturday night. It's kind of, it's the ninth game of the spring.
Yeah.
That's a lot of spring games. That's kind of neat that you guys get to play that much.
Yeah.
Can you talk about Saturday night's game?
Yeah, for sure. We play Stanford here at Cal Poly at Spanos at 7 o'clock. And to open up to the public, I think there's going to be a good little crowd at the game and a lot of youth players, and the Manglers will even be out there. And Stanford's a very, very good team. They have a new coach that's been there a year, really, really been hitting the recruiting trail and plays in a 4-4-2, and it's a different style and different system than ours. And so, but a very, very effective style. And so it'll be a great game to watch. And I said we need to learn how to play against this type of team. So that's why we scheduled them as our last game.
Do you have other teams in conference who probably play like similar styles?
Yeah, there's a few other teams that play this way.
Right.
You know, real direct, and you know, they get up the field quickly.
Sure. Yeah. How about what can fans expect to see? Like more players playing probably in the spring, right? Than kind of a bigger, healthier rotation than normal.
Yeah. We're haven't decided exactly how many guys. Like that's why we've played these, you know, eight games so far, is we've given everybody a 90-minute game on each day. So everyone's got a lot of time this spring, which is great. And so that's been great for our development. But on Saturday, we only play one game. So we may be playing just 15 guys and going from there.
Coach Oliver, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Troubled Town. Oh, can't find my way around Troubled Town. Front page of the news.